is Up the Road, dedicated to sustaining the California story. I'm Kim Weir. We head up the road this week in search of good places to look up and appreciate the dark night sky. Winter, when the air is crisp and clear, is perfect for interstellar communion, and most of the desert has open horizons all around. In the day-to-day dramas of human life, we tend to forget that the miraculous planet we live on isn't even a grain of pollen in the immense universe. Which is fine in the end, because every so often we can remember just how small we are by making it a priority to stand off somewhere alone and look up into the deep night. My favorite description of star watching comes from Mary Austin, literary cowgirl and a California desert resident during the early 1900s. In her book, The Land of Little Rain, she described the power of her favorite night sky. For all the toll the desert takes of a man, it gives compensations, she wrote. Deep breaths, deep sleep, and the communion of the stars. It is hard to escape the sense of mastery as the stars move in the wide, clear heavens to risings and settings unobscured. They look large and near and palpitant, as if they moved on some stately service not needful to declare. Wheeling to their stations in the sky, they make the poor world fret of no account. Of no account, you who lie out there watching, nor the lean coyote that stands off in the scrub from you and howls and howls. But where do we go to take in, or more accurately, get taken in, gathered up by, the night sky? There are excellent spots to skywatch in California, not all of them included on lists from the International Dark Sky Association. But do use that resource as a starting point for finding dark sky destinations around the world. Sadly, there aren't that many anywhere. The Dark Sky Association is doing what it can to change that and gives generous credit where it's due, acknowledging and listing those places working hard to protect and preserve their night skies. Quite a few are here in California or nearby, surprisingly. Wherever you end up, when you look up, consider how darkness embraces and supports the earth beneath your feet and the complexity of all life and what we're doing to ourselves, too, dependent as we are on circadian cycles by plugging the entire planet into unnatural light. The Swedish ecologist Johan Ekloff offers quite the education in his book, The Darkness Manifesto, on light pollution, night ecology, and the ancient rhythms that sustain life. Californians may already know about the closest full-on reserve. There are just a handful of these in the world, which is the Central Idaho Dark Sky Reserve, some 1,416 square miles, including the remote and rugged Sawtooth Mountains, a national forest, two official wilderness areas, and Sun Valley. Other bests are closer to home, such as Big Sur, at least when the fog moves on, Pigeon Point Lighthouse, ditto, Point Reyes National Seashore, ditto again, much of Mendocino County, including that incomparable coastline, Yosemite National Park, Calaveras Big Trees State Park, Lake Tahoe and vicinity, and of course, Lassen Volcanic National Park. Rumor has it that Lassen's annual Dark Sky Festival will be back in real life starting during the summer of 2023. But Mary Austin had a point about the desert as the ideal destination for sky watching. In most places, the landscape is flat, with sky, big, big sky, on every horizon. Keeping in mind that winter is high season for desert travel, it may get crowded. Come anyway. Best places include Anza Borrego Desert State Park, an international dark sky park, and eastern San Diego County, with night sky talks and special events offered year-round. Nearby Borrego Springs was designated as California's first dark sky community in 2009. Julian has recently joined the club. Then there's Joshua Tree National Park, an official dark sky park not far from Palm Springs and vicinity. Head for the Sky's the Limit Observatory in 29 Palms, just beyond Joshua Tree's north entrance in the fall for the area's annual Big Sky Party. Tickets sell out, so get yours early. Otherwise, go east for the darkest skies. Another don't-miss desert stargazing destination is already famous Death Valley National Park, a gold-tiered dark sky park, the highest possible dark sky rating. The park is so huge, the opportunities for solo and small group reveries seem endless. Death Valley's official Starfest comes in February and includes, ahem, a stellar scientific lineup. Folks from NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center, Jet Propulsion Laboratory, and Ames Research Center, as well as the SETI Institute and California Institute of Technology. Visit the Panamint Valley just outside Death Valley National Park for a variety of dark sky events, from the Great Orion Dark Sky Festival in mid-March and Death Valley Star Camp from early February well into April to October's California Dark Sky Festival, 3 nights of dark skies, professional astronomy talks, and night photography, all offered by the Eastern Sierra Observatory. Camp on site in star pods or BYO camping gear. Another dark sky possibility not far away is the BLM's Alabama Hills National Scenic Area west of Lone Pine. Until next time, star partiers, this is Kim Weir for Up the Road.
North State Give and Take is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Northern Star Mills, serving the North Valley with farm, garden, and pet supplies since 1898. Northern Star Mills offers natural and organic soil amendments and fertilizers, as well as natural holistic pet supplies. Northern Star Mills is located in downtown Chico, across from the Bidwell Mansion. And by the Printed Image, providing screen printing and embroidery in Chico since 1980. The Printed Image opened Monday through Friday, 9 to 3, and by appointment. More information by calling 530-898-9525. Today on Nurse Day Give and Take, I am going to interview Julie, and she is sort of the adoption coordinator for the SPCA, Northwest SPCA in Oroville. She wears many hats there, and we might learn a little bit more about some of those hats. But I just wanted to get out there about the SPCA in Oroville, which I think people don't know much about. So welcome, Julie. I am happy to talk to you.
I'm happy to be here.
SPCA, they've been everywhere forever. So it is the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals.
One thing about that is that a lot of people aren't aware of is that every SPCA or shelter is independently owned and operated. So there is a very large SPCA in New York called the ASPCA, but there is no trickle down from them. They have a very large marketing budget, and therefore a lot of people think that when they donate to that, it trickles down. But anything donated to the ASPCA stays in New York with that shelter.
Okay.
So we're all independently operated.
And all states have them?
Yes. There are some cities that have SPCAs. There's some that have humane societies. There's some that have just their city local shelter.
Basically, it's volunteers probably more than anything else.
We're a nonprofit, so most of our the folks working there are employees. We have had a volunteer program in the past, and we're currently working on getting that set up again. There's a lot of training involved in that, a lot of commitment involved in that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, over the last few years, we had a lot of things closed up and shut down. So we had to shut that down as well. And we're working on getting that back up and running.
Gotcha. So the SPCA is a nonprofit. So that then they kind of fall into the 501c3. They can get grants and they can get donations, and that's how they keep it going.
Correct. We depend a lot on donations, food, blankets, towels, My whining shelter dog right next to me right now. He's yes. not paying enough attention.
Yes. And then space. I mean, you've got to have a space for it. Mm-hmm. I mean, where to put pets and to put animals.
Right. Right. So we have the, our shelter is actually contracted out with the city of Oroville and with the Butte County. So all the unincorporated areas of Butte County. So we house animals, strays that come in from those areas, as well as cruelty cases and that type of thing where animals are removed from a home. Mm-hmm. And we have 56 kennels for dogs at the facility right now. And okay. we have 28 of those in adoption and 28 of those in what we call isolation kennels, where we keep the strays hoping to find their owners and have them come get them and uh-huh. all the cruelty cases and that type of stuff.
Uh-huh. Oh, coordinating that must be definitely a job in and of itself. Yes. I would imagine. And so when people have a stray or even the police have something where there's cruelty, you're the ones they call.
Depending on location, yes. We have animal control officers at our facility that are working in the city limits of Oroville. And then we also, like I said, work with the Butte County Animal Control.
Okay.
The unincorporated areas.
Okay. And so you bring them in, try to figure out the best thing for them, make them feel safe, feed them.
Yeah. Keep them safe.
Keep them. Yeah, boy. And then, of course, there's always the puppies and the kittens and all of that.
Yes, we take yes. in all of that.
All of that. Because you do both dogs and cats.
We do dogs and cats and then some small animals, depending on situation, okay. that come into. Some people find a stray bunny or a pig. Or we've had all sorts of roosters and chickens. We've had all sorts of stuff come in.
So they come in and then you hold them. If you have too many and you can't fit them in, are you connected with other agencies that can help you?
We do coordinate. Well, by law, we have to hold a stray animal in our area that comes in from our jurisdiction. We can't take animals from other jurisdictions, so we can't take them from any other city limits, just the city of Oroville and the unincorporated areas of Butte County. So those animals, when they come in as a stray, we legally have to hold them for 4 business days okay. In hopes that the owner will find them and come in and redeem them. And if they do not, then we have a couple options. We do evaluations to make sure the animals pass our temperament and medical. We work with rescues that will come in and pull animals, other shelters that will come in and pull animals if they need, they don't have the numbers they need to mm-hmm. adopt out, they'll come in and pull. So we do work with a lot of different rescues and shelters that we coordinate together to get the animals to the best possible situation. And then we have a lot in adoption as well. And, one really important thing that people need to understand too is once we push an animal into adoption, they stay in adoption until they're adopted. So we've had dogs at the shelter for many months. And we have a celebration when they get a home. There are certain rescues that work with specific types of animals, either senior animals or special needs animals. We also work with a couple other entities, UC Davis. We've done a lot of work with them where we will send animals there for spay and neuter surgeries to help train their future veterinarians. They've also performed amputations. If we have an animal that needs, mm-hmm. let's say a leg amputated, we had a dog that had been in an accident or hit by a car. We don't know what happened to her, but she was injured and she had to have both of her eyes removed.
Oh my.
UC Davis did that and we were able to adopt her out. So we've adopted out some, special needs animals, if you will. And we've also have rescues that will work with ones that are beyond wow. our capability. So
wow. And how long have you been there?
I've been at the Northwest SPCA for 8 years.
And how long?
Eight years.
8 years. And how long has the SPCA been there in Oroville?
Over 40 years. So the late 70s is when this one was. It was down the road a bit. And then in 2006, we moved into our current facility.
Okay. And do you get enough money? Do you get enough support?
We do get support, but we're always in need. The last few years, this year in particular, seems like we have more animals than we've had in a long time. Mm-hmm. We generally get between 4,000 and 6,000 animals a year into wow. our shelter and do our best to get them to rescues and adopted out. And this year it seems to be kitten season forever and puppy season forever. And lots and lots and lots of intakes.
Gotcha. And when you said in this thing about no kill, which you hear those terms, mm-hmm. that's what you said. Once they're in the adoption, once you've taken them in, you keep them.
Yes. Once they're in adoption, they stay in adoption until they're adopted or pulled by a rescue. We have rescues that will pull animals out of the isolation kennels as well. We cannot adopt out aggressive animals.
Uh-huh.
So they will not be pushed into adoption.
Sure.
And that's just a fact. That's just a fact of life. And sure.
Yeah. But I bet you keep some for a while.
We do. We've had dogs. The dog I just let out, he was at the shelter for probably 6 months before I brought him home. I was hoping to find a home for him. He's heartworm positive. Mm-hmm. And he was a stray that was caught and trapped for killing chickens because he was mm-hmm. hungry. And we worked mm-hmm. To get him and his brother adopted. I just fell in love with him and decided to take him home.
Aw, I bet that happens to you a lot.
It does. There's another one in there I'm eyeballing right now.
That's funny. It happened to us as well. A dog that was heartworm positive needed treatment. So we took her while she was treated, and then we fell in love with her, and she became our dog.
Foster failure.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. Foster failure. That's what it was, for sure. So now if someone is interested in looking at a pet or finding a pet, mm-hmm. how's the best way to get in touch with you guys and how to connect?
Well, we have a website, northwestspca.org, mm-hmm. and all the animals are listed and the pictures are online, which updates every hour while we're there. So if you are missing an animal, the best place to go is to our website, and you can look at the pictures of all the animals that have been
taken in
during that day. Mm-hmm.
And what's that website again? Say that one more time, Julie.
It's Northwest, all spelled out. So northwestspca.org.
Okay. So if you're missing a dog or you're interested in getting a dog, go there. That's where the pictures of the dogs are. Okay.
Dogs and cats. And a couple bunnies and pigs right now. And a rooster. So that updates every hour while we're there, and all the available animals for adoption too. And we also have an email, which is contact@northwestspca.org if they have any questions about particular animals.
Okay.
And to come in during kennel visitation.
Okay.
There's no appointments necessary. You can just come in and visit as long as we're open.
And open. The kennels are ready. And how often is the kennel visitation hours?
So the shelter's open from 9 a.m. to 4:30 Monday through Friday. The kennels open around 10, and then we close from noon to 1 for lunch.
Okay.
So 10 to noon and then 1 to 4:30, and then we're open on Saturdays from 11 to 3 with no breaks.
Okay. And you're there as people are there. And what is the address?
2787 South 5th Avenue in Oroville, California, 95965.
It's big. I bet you were really inundated with fires and things like that, though, in the
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. We were very involved with all the local fires. And because, like I said, we are the county shelter. So
That must have been a really hard job.
It is hard. I mean, what we do is super fulfilling, but it's also can be very difficult. We just had a case where on Friday night, 27 animals were taken out of a home and they were in really sad condition, you know? So we deal with really sad things, but we also see some really great adoptions and dogs and cats getting into great homes. You know, sometimes I'll think, I wonder how that's working out. And I look at my dog laying next to me on my bed snoring. And I think probably like that.
Probably pretty good. Yeah, I gotcha. And I bet a lot of it is nutrition. Just getting animals fed and hydrated.
That's a lot of our needs. We just put out a plea today for dog and puppy food, wet and dry. We ask that if you do dog food dry, to do small kibble. That way the little animals, the little dogs and the big dogs can eat it.
Sure.
And then wet and dry cat food. We are constantly in need for that. We're constantly in need of blankets because we want them to be cozy, and blankets get torn up and we have to get rid of them. So old blankets, old towels. We do a lot of dog washing, some towels and that type of stuff.
And those are the kind of things that you would bring to you?
Yes.
Bring to the shelter. Okay. Mm-hmm. And give me that address one more time.
2787 South Fifth Avenue in Oroville, California.
Okay. So kibble, small if you can. Canned food, I'm sure. Either way, you'll be happy to have it.
Yep.
And old blankets or blankets and towels and those kind of things. And just yes. bring them while you're open and the times are on the website.
Yes.
Julie, thank you so much. I'm glad that I got to talk to you. I wanted to just hook that up with the little pooch playoff coming up because that sounded like such a fun thing. And a good little fundraiser for you guys. I know that.
Yes. We've had in the past, we had pancake breakfast in January. And for the last few years, we haven't been able to do that.
Sure.
We had a bowl-a-thon. That we can't do anymore because there's no more bowling alley. So there's a couple fundraisers that we really depended on. And this is very helpful because we've not been able to do those last couple of years.
Uh-huh. So this is kind of your big one. This is the one you've been doing now.
And this is all Erin's idea. Mm-hmm. You know, her sister loved the animals at the shelter. When her sister passed away, she's dedicated mm-hmm. some of what she does to helping the shelter because it was really a place her sister loved to be.
Mm-hmm. So. Julie, I thank you.
You just heard a pre-recorded interview with Julie from the Northwest SPCA in Oroville. And we're going to take a break, and then I'm going to come back with Erin Lackey. And she's going to talk about the contest that they're having to raise money for the SPCA. So stay tuned. KZFR 90.1 FM. My name's Bobby Tryon. Listening to 90.1 FM, KZFR Chico, and my name's Bobby, and here's more about the Pooch Playoffs. Today on North State Voices, I am going to interview Erin Lackey. And Erin, you have a studio, a photograph studio in Oroville, is that right?
That is correct, yes.
Well, and you're doing a neat thing with the SPCA there in Oroville. So I wanted to talk to you about what you're doing. Well, let's talk about that. You have a fundraiser for the SPCA in Oroville.
Yes. So this is, it's the second year that we've done this. Last year, I kind of got this idea with another group of boutique photographers. So what I mean by boutique is that we really specialize in creating artwork and heirloom albums for our clients as opposed to like a digital file link thing. So we really, really want our clients to have a beautiful portrait, heirloom quality work of their loved ones, of their families, high school seniors, or of their pets. And so what we did is we got together and we're like, how can we give back to our community? And what some of us came up with, we were like, you know what? I think it'd be awesome if in March, there's like the NCAA tournament, which is March Madness that comes up in March. We're like, what if we got a bunch of dogs and took their portraits and then we had people vote? So that's what we did. It's called the Pooch Playoffs. And this is our second year. And essentially what it is it's an ultimut competition for the cutest canine in Butte County. And so all the other photographers, they're doing this in their own regions across the nation, actually international, because we have some in Canada. So it's pretty cool. So we're all doing our local fundraisers. We partner with a cause that's close to our heart, usually some sort of animal shelter or someone, an organization that's doing something on behalf of the animals. I have a personal relationship there and near and dear to my heart with the Northwest SPCA here in Oroville. And so this is our second year that we've partnered with them. Last year, we were able to raise a lot of money for them. So we were very excited. They were excited. Really, this time of year can be tricky for a lot of nonprofits and particularly animal organizations, because we're coming out of the holidays and everyone's really excited, which is awesome. Like, right, we're really excited about giving back to the animals around the holidays and supporting those charities. But then, you know, after the holidays are over and we're back to our lives, they kind of see a dip in the support. And so I really thought this would be the perfect time to do a fundraiser for them. So what's involved with the Ultimut competition is it's essentially what it is there's an entry fee. And so you do the entry fee. I donate those proceeds. Those go back to the shelter. And what you get with that entry fee is you get a boutique portrait session of your pup, of your pooch. It's so much fun. They come into my studio. Sometimes we'll go outside. Like, it's just, we get them in all these fun poses on colorful backgrounds. It's just a really, really fun time. There's lots of funny squeaky toys and I make a lot of weird noises and there's howling. So we do the portrait session and I really, really believe in having something tangible, a printed piece in the hands of my clients. So they'll get a little portrait gift from me as well. And then their entrance into Pooch Playoffs, which starts March 14th. That's when voting starts.
So the way that it works, so March 14th, the voting will start. And yes. How do people vote?
Yes. So it's just me. I will have, well, and my husband, he helps a lot too, but we'll have a landing page at my website. So I have a landing page. It's going to be erinlackey.com/poochplayoffs. Just how it sounds. And Erin is erinlackey.com/poochplayoffs. You'll go on there and there'll be instructions on how to vote. You get to vote once per day per round. So, or not per round, once per day. And each round will last a few days. And okay. You'll get to kind of see the progression of which dogs made it into, you know, we starting with 32 and then which dogs made it to the Sweet 16 and then the top eight or the final eight. I don't know. Then the final four and then the ultimate champion. Yes. Which so we have now, a lot of non-mutts. I mean, there's lots of purebred dogs that are in here. We just call it, you know, it's just a fun play on words. So,
sure. So people, they come in. Now you have enough people that are actually mutts that are in the contest already.
Yes. So surprising. Well, I was very surprised. We are fully booked unless we have any cancellations. So we're fully booked with the 32 dogs right now.
Okay.
Which is just amazing. I'm just blown away. But yes. Okay.
So you have the 32, but people can still come in and contribute to the fund.
Yes.
By getting a portrait.
Yes.
Their dogs and going home with one of these wonderful little portraits that you do for them.
Yes. So that's one of the things, because I limited the bracket to 32 this year, but I still have several people. And I also have people that aren't super competitive, but they're like, I don't want to be in Pooch Playoffs, but I really want to support the charity. And I